Hello everyone, I'm James, and as always, I'm joined by my brilliant co-host, Lisa. Today, we're diving into a topic that's absolutely essential for teachers, using assessment data effectively to improve learning. Lisa, this is one of those areas where a little strategy can make a huge difference, isn't it?
Absolutely, James. So often, teachers collect mountains of data, quizzes, projects, exit tickets. But the real magic happens when you take that data and turn it into actionable teaching strategies. It's about translating numbers and observations into better instruction and ultimately better outcomes for students.
Right. And to set the stage, let's imagine a teacher sitting at their desk. They've got a laptop open with a gradebook dashboard showing averages, a histogram, and even some item-by-item analysis. On the desk, there's a stack of quizzes marked up with red pen, handwritten comments, sticky notes dividing students into groups, and an action plan ready to go. It's all about using that data to make informed decisions, isn't it?
Exactly. And it's not as daunting as it sounds. There's actually a simple cycle that can guide teachers through this process. Collect, analyze, interpret, plan, act, and monitor. Think of it as assess, analyze, act, and then check to see if it worked. Let's break that down, step by step.
All right, let's start with the first step, collecting data. This could be anything from a quick exit ticket to a full project or even just observations during a lesson, right?
That's right. The key here is to design assessments that actually give you useful information. For instance, an exit ticket might ask students to solve one problem and rate their confidence in their answer. That way, you're not just assessing knowledge, but also getting insight into their metacognition, how they think about their own learning.
That makes sense. Once you've collected the data, the next step is analysis. This is where you look at averages, patterns, and even things like how spread out the scores are. What should teachers focus on here?
Good question. Start with the average score, the mean. A low average might indicate that the whole class struggled, or that the task was too difficult. A high average might mean most students understood the material. But averages alone don't tell the whole story. You also want to look at the spread of scores, or dispersion. Are most students clustered together, or is there a wide range?
And what does that spread tell you?
Well, if the spread is narrow and the average is low, it could mean that the entire class is struggling with the same concept. That might call for a reteach. On the other hand, if the spread is wide, it could mean that some students got it while others didn't, which might require small group interventions or differentiated support.
Got it. Now, what about looking at individual items on an assessment? How can that help?
Item analysis is incredibly powerful. For example, if most students missed a particular question, that's a red flag. It could point to a specific misconception or a gap in instruction. On the other hand, if students consistently answer correctly but can't explain their reasoning, it might mean they're relying on rote memorization rather than true understanding.
That's fascinating. So once you've analyzed the data, the next step is interpretation. What kinds of questions should teachers be asking here?
Teachers should ask diagnostic questions like, is this an issue with my teaching? Was the task too hard or unclear? Do students lack prior knowledge? Or is motivation playing a role? These questions help pinpoint the root cause of the data patterns you're seeing.
And once you've got your interpretation, it's time to plan. How do you decide what to do next?
This is where you group students based on their needs. For example, you could have Group A for students who are ready for enrichment, Group B for those who need scaffolded practice, and Group C for reteaching foundational concepts. The plan should be specific, with targeted strategies for each group.
Can you give an example of what that might look like in practice?
Sure. Let's say you gave a 20-point quiz. The class average was 12 out of 20, which is 60%, and the spread was wide, meaning some students did really well while others struggled. In your item analysis, you notice that most students did fine on foundational questions but struggled with application and multi-step reasoning. For Group C, you might reteach strategies for those tougher questions using worked examples. For Group B, you might focus on guided practice with immediate feedback. And for Group A, You could give an enrichment task that requires them to apply the concept to a real-world scenario.
That's a great example. And what about feedback? How can teachers use it effectively?
Feedback should be short, specific, and action-focused. For instance, instead of just saying good job, you might say, nice attempt, your steps show you understand the first part. Let's work on connecting step two to step three. The goal is to guide students toward improvement without overwhelming them.
I like that. It's constructive without being discouraging. And the final step is to monitor progress, right?
Exactly. After you've implemented your plan, use a quick check, like an exit ticket or a mini task, to see if it worked. If not, you go back to the cycle, assess, analyze, act, and check again. It's all about continuous improvement.
It's such a practical approach. And the best part is, it doesn't require fancy tools or hours of extra work. Just a clear process and a bit of intentionality.
That's the beauty of it. When you use assessment data thoughtfully, you're not just grading papers. You're making informed decisions that help every student move forward.
Thanks for breaking this down so clearly, Lisa. We hope this gives you some useful strategies to take back to your classrooms.
Thanks, James. And if you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and share it with your colleagues.